New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and we are in the preseason. Way different than the offseason. I'm not arguing this. One could argue West Virginia University men's basketball has been in an offseason for 18 months. I'm not arguing that. A lot has happened since May of 2023, right? But it's September 2024. The first practice was Tuesday of this week. The first Darren DeVries press conference happened Wednesday, signifying that the preseason is on. On Thursday, the 20-game conference schedule came out, and before we know it, it'll be Mountaineers playing secret scrimmages, public scrimmages, and then after that is games that count. So we're here, and so let's start with the schedule, because it came out today. And WVU, you look at the schedule and it kind of tells you where you're at in the conference. And coming off of that season, it is not a shock that WVU has zero Monday games. Do they still call it Big Monday on ESPN? I think they do. And West Virginia has to earn their way back into being shown on Big Monday. You got to earn that Big Monday status back. But the start of this conference schedule is pretty rough. You start New Year's Eve at Allen Fieldhouse. You get your game over with the Kansas Jayhawks in a building you've never won at before. Now, Darren DeVries, as head coach of WVU, is undefeated in Allen Fieldhouse. So that's a stat you can kind of hold on to until December 31st. But you start at Kansas. Not great. Then West Virginia comes back home, plays Oklahoma State with a new head coach. New Big 12. Arizona comes to Morgantown. And then you hit the road to play at Colorado, at Houston. So West Virginia's first five Big 12 games, they play what's most likely going to be in the upcoming Big 12 preseason poll, the three best teams in the conference, in Arizona, Kansas, and Houston. So one of two ways of looking at that, you get that out of the way early, or it's with a whole new roster and a new coaching staff, not the easiest start to conference play. But that's what it is. Those are the first five. And to be brutally honest, in the Big 12, if I looked at every team's schedule, every team's probably got a three-game stretch, a five-game stretch, where it's like, this is the toughest stretch in all of the conference. Everybody could possibly make that claim. What else stands out with the schedule? No Texas two-step you know, it's been a staple in the Big 12 conference schedule to look for the trip where West Virginia plays like a Saturday game in Fort Worth and a Monday game in Waco, or, you know, Saturday in Lubbock, Monday in Houston, you know, something like that. No two-game stretch in Texas. Instead, you get three separate trips in the month of February to Texas. Pull up Google Maps, and the school did this, the social media team did this in the schedule reveal, using Google Maps to where the players are trying to figure out and put a pin on where their Big 12 opponents are at on the map. But if you're in West Virginia, Morgantown, West Virginia, then type in any school that's in the Big 12 in the state of Texas. And yes, West Virginia is flying to those games. But they're going through, and February is the shortest month of the year. And West Virginia is going to Texas three separate times in the month of February. They go to Fort Worth on February 5th, they go to Waco on the 15th, and they go to Lubbock on the 22nd. How do you prepare for that kind of travel? That sounds like NBA stuff, and probably NBA teams don't do that kind of travel. Like, the not mixing in another game while you're in Lubbock, Texas seems rough. Only Offrey has experienced this kind of traveling grind. So that's concerning, and it's always concerning as WVU being part of a two time zone conference. Now you got, I think we got four now. We've got four time zones represented, but three separate trips to Texas, that's rough. And while there's no Texas two-step, there is a late season two-game trip to the state of Utah, which I've heard is beautiful. And so you get that BYU-Utah swing in Utah in March before finishing the season at UCF. Listen, it's a gauntlet. You know, we don't get to say Texas two-step this season, but every season we can say Big 12 is a gauntlet. And the difference with the gauntlet this season is that it's a longer gauntlet. We go from 18 games to 20 conference games. So that twofold, it lessens your non-conference schedule. And then the what you call a gauntlet, you've made it longer. And so you're going from the end of December to the middle of March, and the longest break within that time frame is 3 days. No bye week, no quote-unquote bye week where you play a Saturday game in February and then you get a week off until your next game. The biggest break is 3 days. And so it's a gauntlet, but even longer. And you've got four new teams that have entered the league, and none of them are slouches. I mean, Arizona, under Tommy Lloyd, they've either been a one or a two seed in the NCAA tournament. Colorado, I couldn't pick Tad Boyle out of a lineup, but this is his 15th season at Colorado, 10, 20-plus win seasons for that guy. So on the surface, it's like, Colorado, are they good at basketball? Yeah, that guy's been pretty good for over a decade. Craig Smith of Utah, he's in his fourth season upcoming, and he had his first 20-plus win season last season, and so he's the trajectory is up for Utah. Maybe you could argue Arizona State is a slouch under Bobby Hurley, but Hurley's been there 10, this will be his 10th season. Five out of the previous nine, he's had a losing record, but he's also mixed in some NCAA tournament appearances. Even so, it's not like, with love and respect to our friends at Central Florida, you get like a blue blood in Arizona and darn good in Utah and Colorado and Arizona State. And Arizona State does not hit you like Central Florida does. In historical basketball terms, Arizona State, James Harden went there. Bobby Hurley's been to the NCAA tournament a few times. So this gauntlet, it'd be like if you told somebody, hey, ice cream place down, you know, in town, they have an eating challenge where if you can eat 18 scoops of ice cream in 2 hours, you win, you know, you get it for free and you win a t-shirt. And you'd hear that and you say, that seems impossible. And then the restaurant, you know, puts on their Facebook page, hey, we've made the challenge even harder. Now in 2 hours, you got to eat 20 scoops. You know, both are terrible. Hey, go run 18 miles. Oh, matter of fact, run 20 miles. It's only 2 miles different, but both are terrible prospects. Hey, you got to spend 18 days in solitary confinement. We're going to tackle on 2 more days. The 18 days in solitary confinement is a long time to be alone. But 20 is way worse. It's only 2 more days. It's only 2 more miles. Only 2 more scoops of ice cream. But it's rough. So this conference is ridiculous for every team. But this specific team, new coaching staff, new roster, it's a, you know, the Big 12 conference is always going to be difficult, especially when you've never experienced it before. That is an uphill climb. Oh, I don't want to, we're not doing climb for basketball.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read the articles about WVU sports. Listen to West by Pod, another podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella about football. Joel and Jordan do a great job there. Join the Smoking Musket Discord. Follow Smoking Musket on social media. Do all that stuff and join me underneath the Smoking Musket umbrella.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's jump back into the stats. If you listened to the last episode, we talked about rebounding and how it's going to look different under Coach DeVries, and basing that on the stats in his 6 years at Drake. Let's look at some other stats. And I'm printing out things because I'm an old person. You know, I just like to hold, you know, I like to look at stats on my laptop, but I also like to hold. I like to hold stats in my hand. And the stats I'm looking at here recently are the shooting stats. on both offense and defense. What should we expect, or what do the stats say about Darren DeVries' coached teams as far as shooting the basketball? Because under Bob Huggins, at this time every year, what was one of the first things Bob Huggins would say? He'd say that we're making shots. Like, don't quote me on that, but if it's on the internet, check out the introductory preseason press conferences for Bob Huggins. And I think most of the time you're going to find a version of we're making shots. And so that's something that you can say. Did that happen during the season? Sometimes it did. A lot of the times it didn't. What do the stats say about Drake under Coach DeVries in regards to shooting the ball? And these stats are from CBBAnalytics.com. Shout out to that website and the information they put out. Shot charts, heat maps, percentiles, all good stuff. It's nice to get out of Kim Pomeroy's computer every once in a while and go to somebody else's computer. So this is CBBAnalytics.com. I've got information. I don't have all six seasons of Coach DeVries at Drake, but I do have the last five. And I can't tell you in Coach DeVries' introductory preseason press conferences at Drake if he was saying we're making shots. He did not say that in the press conference on Tuesday. What the stats say for Drake under Coach DeVries is that his team shot the ball well, and they shot it well in half-court offense. Drake's field goal percentage in the half-court in these last five seasons under DeVries was elite. So I'm looking at percentiles. If you're the 100th percentile, you're the best in Division I. If you're a 1, you're at the bottom in the last five seasons. 95, 92, 84, 92, and 87. So that's not top half. That's not quarter of Division I. That's like hanging around the top 10 percentile of Division I basketball schools in regards to shooting the basketball in their half-court offense. And they were good everywhere. You know, the CBB analytics, it breaks down how you're shooting at the rim and the paint, corner threes, mid-range, other threes. So they keep track of five different spots on the court and how you shoot the ball in those areas. And Drake was only below the 50th percentile three times. So in 5 years, five different spots on the floor. There's 25 times where they could have been under the 50th percentile. That's wordy. That's a lot of words. But what I'm telling you is DeVries didn't have to say we're shooting the ball well, we're making shots. The stats say his teams made shots, and they made shots from everywhere. In a comparison, West Virginia was below the 50th percentile in one of those five categories 13 times out of a possible 25 over the last 5 years. And in that five-year stretch, and that includes the COVID year, West Virginia made the NCAA tournament, or would have made the NCAA tournament, three out of those five seasons. They didn't go because of pandemic in 1920. And so they were a couple of rough seasons, but overall fairly successful. It wasn't because they shot the ball well. They did other things well. Drake, every season, and I bet if this website went back to DeVries' first season at Drake, it would have been good shooting statistics as well. Now, you know, the counter argument is they're doing it in the Missouri Valley Conference. Obviously, their opponents were overall, you know, strength of schedule was definitely lower than what Bob Huggins and Josh Eilert faced at WVU. And that's fair. But a season sample size, it gives you an idea, and you would hope that those kind of statistics translate into the Big 12. I'm hoping they do. So the stats say they shoot the ball well, and that's a great sign as far as offense. On defense, of which DeVries teams play pretty much all the time, man-to-man, a version of pack line defense. The stats don't kind of jump at you as far as how effective they were as far as keeping other teams to a low percentage. If you pay attention to basketball analytics, what are the most efficient shots in basketball? I'll tell you, it's dunks or layups, like at the rim, and corner threes. Drake, under Darren DeVries, their opponents shot a really low percentage, guess where? At the rim and corner threes. Lower compared to the rest of Division I. Over the last five seasons, Drake's opponents shot a little over three corner threes a game. One, two, three. WVU's opponents over the last five seasons averaged about 5.5. And you could let's round it up to six. So twice as many corner threes. And candidly, and you can see this with your eyes over the last five seasons, with teams, they shot twice as many corner threes than what opponents were doing against Drake. And they were shooting him at a high clip because you and I watched it. As great at times WVU's defense could be, what they gave up was open corner threes. And DeVries is the opposite. And as far as how many attempts are taken, the percentage, you know, I'd have to go back and look and see how well they defended those three threes a game. But just the fact that you're taking less efficient shots is a good sign defensively. Another category that stood out when I looked at all the stats was transition attempts. Close to 11% of opponent shots in the last five seasons of Drake, they came in transition. WVU's opponents over the last five seasons, about 14.5% of the attempts came in transition. And guess what? Transition field goal percentage, way higher because you're playing in transition because you've got a numbers advantage and the possession should likely end in an easy basket or an open shot. So 10.8 versus 14.5, that doesn't seem like a big difference in numbers. I'm telling you statistically, 10.8 is at one end of the spectrum, right? And 14.5 is on the opposite end of the spectrum. And what the stats say, under DeVries, Drake did a good job of limiting possessions in transition, which sounds like a good thing. Like you're getting back on defense and forcing the other team with good offense on made baskets to get back, set up your defense, have them try to score in half-court offense. So that's the end of Nerd Corner. What I tell you is that just all of that to say, Bob Huggins leaves, Josh Eiler interims, the coaching search happens, and if you were watching the coaching search and thinking, you know what, I want the next guy, I want his team to look different than what it's looked like, the stats say we're getting different, and I think different in a positive way. The other way was effective, too. I mean, Bob Huggins is a Hall of Fame basketball coach. Darren DeVries has been doing it for six seasons. What I'd say is we are definitely, based on the stats, going to get a different style of play. And I think it's going to be welcome. You know, you've had one flavor since 2007. You know, new flavor. And I hope it's successful. Will different be successful? We'll find out together. I'm excited. The preseason's here. The countdown's on. It's getting colder. And that means you got to go inside. And basketball at the college level is played inside. Sometimes they play it on a giant boat. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just choose one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.